T-Mobile is no stranger to pushing the boundaries of wireless. And now, we're pushing those boundaries over the border of Mexico and Canada. That's right. T-Mobile is extending coverage and calling to any phone, including mobile, to and from the U.S., Mexico, and Canada at no extra charge. That's coverage in three countries for the price of one. Your 4G LTE data and unlimited talk and text work seamlessly in Mexico and Canada, just like in the U.S., so you can call and text family and friends as much as you want and use your data just like you do at home. Borders are for countries, not coverage. So don't wait. Switch to the Un-carrier today. Check out T-Mobile.com/3countries.
Limited time offer subject to change. Device, network, and coverage impact experience and speeds which vary. For U.S. residents with primary use on T-Mobile's U.S. network, not for extended international use.
Welcome to Never Had It So Good, Sports Talk Radio, where the topics are up for debate every night of the week. Make sure to join us 7 p.m. We make it easy to talk sports. Welcome to Sports Talk Recruiting. We're here tonight on Thursdays. Someone inboxed me from Texas a couple of weeks ago and said, hey, when are you going to do that show again? You know, we're on every night at 7 o'clock, and they were talking about this recruiting show. So it's already made an impact. I'm glad that we're back and we're here doing what we need to do in order to help those athletes. Tonight's topic, recruiting, it's up to you. We're going to really get into that and how it's up to you and how you can help yourself. And, of course, playing dual positions, can that help? We'll talk to a couple of athletes that maybe have been through that and transferring. We're going to talk about the consequences and how can that impact your college recruiting. Setting your goals. If you're going to have recruiting up to you, you got to set some goals, and we'll get into that. And then early enrollment, something that I look for as a fan of the Florida Gators. I look for that. Because I want to see who's already on campus and have that academics in a row. But right now, let's get Glenn Stout in here. Ryan Stout, guys, how are we doing?
Doing fantastic, and great to be back with you, Princess.
Great to be back.
Always
with
nice
you,
to be on. Thank you.
Awesome,
always,
awesome. Ryan,
always good to be on.
Now, Ryan, you know this is our week. Yep, I hear you. This is our week.
Oh, no. September 26th has been on my calendar for a whole year. And it's been, what, about 10 years now?
Yeah, 10 years. But
now,
this is the official.
I don't want to hear.
You don't want to hear anything.
I don't want to hear any excuses about any Florida Gators talking about, well, you know what, it's been long enough. I guess you guys can take this W.
Oh, wow.
So,
oh, wow. Listen to him. He's already talking. Well, to the listeners, this is the Stout versus Cooper Bowl. And it happens every time Tennessee and Florida plays. And I've only known Ryan less than a year, so this is our first one. This is the inaugural one between us. And I'd hate for the Stout versus Super Bowl to go the Stout way. So go Gators.
Especially the first year out of the shoot, right? I don't know about
right.
Any one of those teams. And I've been listening to you or watching your comments, and you're pretty much right on track about the SEC East. I mean, this isn't a college show, but I can definitely agree with you about and watching after watching Tennessee play Oklahoma and Florida got a couple of, you know, I don't want to get off the talk of it, but yeah, SEC East is sucking some wind right now.
Yeah, it's sucking some wind. The entire SEC, I think, is, but I left him alone after Oklahoma because I was rooting for him. And I said, oh man, I'm not talking to Ryan for a little bit. I'm just going to leave him alone.
Oh,
all right,
boy.
Let's get into it. Let's get into some of the trending topics we're going to talk about tonight. And the first one is about social media. Coaching staff designate coaches to follow recruits on social media. Ryan and Glenn, you want to kind of comment on that? And let's talk about that one. We've been preaching it, but now it's here in full force. Ryan, I'll start with you.
Well, social media, trending topic-wise, oh my goodness. Talk about Florida Gators, and it's not talked down towards anyone because we've mentioned it before.
athletes understanding the consequences of their actions.
Yeah.
And a young man, I don't even need to throw his name out because it doesn't matter. Regardless, young man throwing some comments out there on Twitter, and then the result is whatever was said behind the scenes, we don't know publicly went down that conversation. But my thing is, someone should have had the conversation prior to the incident. So for him to come back, and the young man obviously apologized, good, obviously someone got in his ear, but the preparation, we don't need to get to that point in the game because you're taking steps back. I understand social media, these kids, they don't know, they know how to talk with their thumbs. They don't, that's the new age, and we've talked about it before, how it could be such a positive thing because it's an extension of their player profile. When a coach is coming in, we evaluate any type of student athlete. They're looking at the character, and we're going to mention it a million times until we go blue in the face. But if no one's mentoring you, if no one's in your ear, you're going to get an example like this. And, he's going to face some consequences regardless if it's a game or not. But you can't put the blame on the young man. At the same time, he's going to learn from this experience, and he's going to be able to apply it and hopefully educate his teammates and educate those that are going to be in his position one day. But blame goes to the people that are supposedly his mentors. So social media is I it's a plus on my list, but if you're going to use it in a negative way, there's a difference in a diary. If you want to vent, go write it down somewhere and throw it in a fire and burn it. So, or, that's my idea on social media. So I'm all for social media.
If you use it positive, I'm all for it too. Glenn, let's get you in here. And over and over and over, we see these mistakes made on social media. And it seems like you would say, okay, I can't do that. As a matter of fact, I can't really do that because look at what it did for them and look at what it did for them. I was just quoting a song and it got me in trouble because the song said some really nasty stuff. But Glenn, why can't the young people that are making an impact on the field learn that they don't have to be seen in this way, in a negative way? Why post negative stuff?
That's a great question. And for a 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old, they really, they're having a hard time understanding consequences of that because they really obviously haven't had any serious consequences. And, they're just, it's such a two-bladed sword now. It is a most powerful tool of the 21st century in recruiting, no doubt. But when you have now the reason this is the trending topics is not only something we're going to continue to talk about, but it's one of the biggest recruiting tools for the college coaches because now if these student-athletes are listening or any coaches are listening, because you're watching on Twitter, you've seen the little piece that was put up by SMU. You saw the piece where the coach covered up the names or the name of the athlete, but you saw in the second column of that SMU letterhead on that paperwork in that second column, the printed, not handwritten, but the printed questions and the printed things he was looking for. He's looking for profanity. He's looking for movies. He's looking for off-color jokes. And then in the next column, he rates him. And he gives, and in the next column over that, he gives the notes. He refers to the notes to his rating. And guess what? That goes to the head coach. So kids, student athletes, moms, mentors, you better pay close attention because your biggest ally can be your biggest albatross.
Yeah.
And just put them on notice now, and we'll continue to do this because some of them don't get it until it's too daggone late, and that's important. But we're going to do our darndest on this show and this kind of outlets and playing the recruiting game to make sure that's priority. That's got to go to the top because that is on the top of everybody's agenda. Everybody and their mother that has anything to do with recruiting at that age right now, I guarantee you there's a high percentage, over 90% of them have some type of a smart device that they are literally on Twitter. It's that big. It's that big.
Yeah, I think it's important to say, and I'm going to say this part. I have two in college, and as long as I'm paying their tuition, and as long as they keep coming back to this address, I have a password to every social media account they have. And I check it daily. I don't even, you know, I don't miss a day.
Yep.
And they don't even question it. As long as they're going to be a representative of Princess Cooper, that's what it has to be. And I've heard that from a lot of different people around the circle, but you got to be accountable to them, and they have to be accountable to you. They got to have great mentors around them to help them with some of this and say, hey, you know, I was afraid of my mother. And I'll tell anybody that I was afraid to disappoint her. But we'll get on another soapbox here. Let's go to another one. I'm going to talk about
important, that's so important, what you just said was, mm-hmm. is because we're kind of catching them after they've created bad habits. What you did mm-hmm. was you created lifelong good habits and expectations. And what
yeah.
we are in the business of doing is putting out fires and reteaching. So we've got to learn how to be able to do that on, like, the you know, cramming for the final exam. But you just
yeah.
made a great point. And, you know, that needs to be belabored. That needs to be taught that, you know, mom set the rules up early, so it's no surprise. You didn't stick
yeah.
your hand in the fire. You know that it's going to
mm-hmm.
burn.
So let me ask this. Let me ask this question. It's bringing up a great
okay.
point. Let me ask this.
Okay.
As a mother, you say, mm-hmm. you know, you throw out the social media, you have the profiles, because you're saying you're paying for it. Okay. As an
mm-hmm.
athletic department, I'm paying for this young man or young lady to come to my university. How much involvement do we give the athletic department, or do we give them any, in terms of how they represent themselves because they're part of this university? I throw that
wow.
question. Great question.
Yeah. That's a great question, and I think you have to say they get the rights, too. You are a representation of that particular school, and you are at the highest of impact because you are the front line, I read somewhere. I think FSU used that, the AD. You are the front line of our university. You have to represent us well, and if you can't, we take it away. That simple. Go ahead, Glenn.
And it goes the same for – it doesn't have to be a top 10 – 110,000 people in the stands. It could be, you know, we're Tabor, Hillsborough, middle
mm-hmm.
nowhere, Hillsborough College. That community is tapped into that social media. So
mm-hmm.
what that young man or woman says at a university of 30,000 and a city of over 100,000, or what that student athlete says at a college of 800 and a community of 2,000, it's got the same negative or positive impact on that community. So they represent
mm-hmm.
the school, which represents the community.
So
yeah.
do we put it in the code of conduct? I'm the athletic department at so-and-so university, and I say, okay, young man, young lady, you have to represent this university, and that means now since we have these outlets with social media,
mm-hmm.
you're told that you have to represent this university correctly. So, you know, what do we lead, you know, put in the code of conduct?
You
that's
have to. Code of conduct and any bylaws for a company. It's who we are as a nation now. Twitter and social media and Instagram and Foursquare and LinkedIn and all of that stuff, I would say you would have to. Glenn, your thoughts?
I think that is, I mean, you brought it up, Ryan. I think that's something that's fantastic. I think it should be
yeah.
instituted because they're the ones putting up the money.
Mm-hmm.
They've decided, and there's other things that you sign on that contract. Ryan, you can get into more depth about that. I've seen it. That 7 pages that, you know, the, what do they call it? The
covenant?
Yeah, the covenants. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
you had to sign those covenants. Every student athlete has to sign those covenants. You know, maybe that needs to be added to the covenants, and maybe it is being added to the covenants. I would assume that at least SMU, if they're grading them out, physically grading them out, that probably is part of the covenants. Now, it's important for shows like this to make sure that just like the NCAA changed 16 core courses, if you're a junior, there's no do-overs. Hey,
mm-hmm.
if you don't know about it, then you need to know the universities are going to add it to the code of conduct, and I think we should lobby that stuff. You want to get rid of it and you want to straighten it up real quick, nip it in the butt, you put it in the code of conduct. I think that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. But I can say this. I can say this, Ryan Stout. If you tell me that Will Greer said something on Twitter that he shouldn't have said and he violated the code of conduct, so he has to miss the Tennessee game, I'm like, okay, but can't we wait till New Mexico State? You know, hold up here. Wait a minute. You know, it's serious business, isn't it?
You're talking about a riot.
Yeah.
You're talking about, they will bring the stadium down brick by brick. Now, there's no doubt that it needs to be opened up. They need to start the dialogue. You know, we can't sit here and talk about the, you know, how it needs to be put into play, what can be said, what is going to be taken. Because, you know, you're taking away from, you know, you can get in.
I just lost you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
you
I got
into,
you now.
You know, you can get into, you know, the whole freedom of speech stuff. People will lose their minds, especially coming up with stuff now. But the dialogue definitely needs to be opened up. The reason I think you would jump to any type of conclusion along those lines is in place if, you know, the universities need to have some type of, you know, I don't know, class or not a class, but, you know, like Nick's name, let the freshmen talk to the media. So some type of, if they have some type of preparation, I mean, that's worst come to worst on my end. You know, if you're not going to prep these guys, you got to have something in place. So, I mean, it'll start a riot.
Oh, it'll start a riot. It'll start with me. I'm protesting first. Go ahead.
If they're not going through playing the recruiting game, they better get it from somewhere because it's a slap of reality. It'll slap them all the way right out of that stadium.
Yeah, but kudos to FSU that takes it all away. You know what? And that is as of August 24th, no more social media, and you will stay off of social media completely as an athlete or be suspended until after the bowl game in January. So they took it all out of there. And took it out of their hands. And I think that's one way to do it. Let's move on because we got a lot to talk about here. High school coaches and the influences of their players and what it's doing long term. Let's talk about this. And I want to see if this is alluded to the two young men out in Texas who decided to take some things into their own hand with the encouragement of their coach. Ryan Stout, your thoughts.
I played for a state championship team. We went 5-0 my senior year. And I transferred in into a small town in Knoxville, Tennessee, Alcoa High School. And I never experienced football like that in my life. And I tell you, those young men that I played and fought with, those brothers that I built up, there was a driving force, and it was that coaching staff. And would look at it and say these guys are crazy. Because, you know, they just had a passion for the game, and they knew how to win. And it was an amazing experience. But at the end of the day, I'm pretty sure I look at those brothers on the field, you know, who would do anything for each other, and look at those coaches, and you do look at those coaches like father figures. You look at them as parents on the field. And, you know, in the heat of the moment, in the heat of battle, I couldn't tell you what we would have done, but we were – each other, and you know, I can understand for the most part. I've never seen a situation like this. We've never had a conversation about that. We've always been stressed, you know, you treat the refs, you treat the officials with the utmost respect.
That
is what preached to us. I can play both sides of the field, but that, I mean, it's ridiculous to see something like that, even to even have the conversation. It just kind of messes with my head a little bit, but I can understand the young men talking about it. Honestly, I don't think the young men should have – they weren't ready to be. However, the situation, I'm not enough. But just listening to their interview on national television, I personally – I don't think that was necessary. Those young men weren't ready to be interviewed, and it's just a very unfortunate situation because it's branding – you know, student-athletes, being an athlete myself, growing up, not saying student-athletes get a bad rap from non-athletes, but there's just, there's some tension, you know, because reality is okay, you know, I should say, people would just say athletes, you know, they get better treated, they're kind of at the top of the totem pole, so there's a certain line that you just don't cross, and it's put it in words, not just football, but athletes in general. So It's an unfortunate situation. I don't follow it enough to be able to comment enough, but yeah, it's I'm pretty upset about it.
Yeah, you know what? That's a representation of authority that I would never have crossed the line, and that's the referee, the umpire, whoever that will be. And to have these young men now, from my understanding, there were three young men that were told to go out there and do something. One young man said, I'm not going to do that. And that's like my mom said, there's some things you just shouldn't do. And that's
right.
One of them. I don't care who tells you. And the two that did it, you know, I think they should suffer some consequences. That's a travesty. I don't care how you look at it. That's a travesty. Your thoughts about this, Glenn?
Well, the biggest travesty is the long-term impact. Number one, if you go back, that coach has some serious problems, and I can't imagine the other problems that he's bestowed on those student athletes, let alone if they're going to attack a referee, which is you never touch a referee. You treat them with the utmost respect, and let alone even attacking another player. You do your playing on the field. But my biggest concern is yes, the action, but what's going to happen is the long-term impact on those players. They're going to be marked forever. That community, that team, just like we talked before about social media, they're going to be marked. They're going to have a branded forever. This is something that you don't want to be known for, and it's going to be something that's going to impact their own legacies that they don't even understand yet, except that third player was given enough mentoring somewhere along the line to understand what that long-term impact was going to be. So my biggest concern for them is their long-term impact of what it's going to do to them and how they're going to end up in their own community.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's an impressionable time. 15, 16, 17, 18, even 19 and 20, that's impressionable. And that coach is really the embarrassment here. We got about, I don't know, a minute here. We really need to get this in here, though. I want to talk about ranking before we move on and get some interviews in here. Is it important? Is it a big deal? Is it needed? And what does it really mean as far as high school rankings? Glenn Stout, your thoughts about that?
Well, I know this was added in there because I'm amused by this. We have obviously StealthRating.com, which is an objective rating of student athletes that takes data and spits it out into a formula of five-star athletes. This is purposely on high school rankings, and the last few weeks it's been interesting because we're week five or week six, wherever you are now, and to see the computer spit out these rankings, and I see these guys talk about it. How can so-and-so be ranked in the top 10 and they're 0-3? And I get a laugh out of it because it goes back to what Larry Bluestein says down here in South Florida. If you don't go and physically see these players play and these teams play, you have no business being in or doing the rating or rankings. And
that's right.
More, he doesn't believe in that stuff anyway. So I just think it's just a marketing tool for them. And there's so much fallacy in it because you just get to this point of the season and you're going to find out who's ranking who and how they're ranking them. And basically, if you got machines ranking them, they can't see them. And they're going to do it, spit it out on whatever they're spitting it out on. I just don't think it has any bearing whatsoever on Friday night. There are too many good teams around the nation that get overlooked, like players that get overlooked primarily because of this ranking and the fabrication that the ESPN 300s will throw out there, those fabricated rankings, so they can put a spotlight on their kids for marketing for ESPN. So it's not about the kids. We'll get back to the kids. We'll get rid of the high school rankings, but high school rankings play an important part of how the everything is set up division-wise and district-wise, and it's a good way to blow up Twitter and everything else. But I just thought it was amusing to see the 0-3 team being ranked in the top 20. That was amusing to me.
Very amusing. Quickly, Ryan, your thoughts about this and how funny this is, because we love rankings and we go look. But to see an 0-3 team in the top 20 or top 25 is comical, Ryan.
Right. Valid? No. Is it necessary? I don't think so either. For the most part, I interview athletes throughout Broward County on a weekly basis. You know, we get some big-time matchups, and when you ask a student athlete, well, so-and-so's in the top 20, or they're the number two team in the district, what do you think? They don't answer half the time anyway. They just want to play football on Friday night. You know, I could go back to my playing days were too long ago. You know, I played on a team that was 30th in the nation. Like I said, is it valid? I don't know. I don't know where they're getting that data from. We know it's not based on subjectivity. Does it help us kind of identify what teams are going to be stronger this year, what teams aren't? Well, yeah, when you look at a boosting, a guy that's literally going out there and it's following student athletes and is saying, look, they got a strong offensive line, they got a strong offense, they got a strong defense. You know, you can go on and on, but is it necessary? I don't think so.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. It's not necessary. It's about money. It's about promotion. It's about a big deal and making sure, you know, that you can get a lot of hits on your website. Hey, you know, I want to see what the rankings are.
Yeah.
For this week, I want to go see. I used to be caught up in that too when University of Florida was relevant. They're not relevant right now. I didn't mean to bring that in there. But anyway, all right, let's talk about recruiting. It's up to you and some young men that have taken this seriously. Glenn, go ahead and set this up for me.
Well, this is really interesting because I was able to talk to a couple of young men that come from very high programs in South Florida, Hallandale Chargers, and Hallandale is one of the schools that we originally went down and brought our mentoring applications to before they were playing a recruiting game and self-rating. And at that time, probably about, could be over 8 years ago, Damian Jones, who's still the head coach down there, would allow us in the classrooms, and we were really figuring out this stuff, and I was using it from the experiences that having Ryan going through this successfully, and we just wanted to share it. And what's interesting, really interesting, is we're getting ready to hear a couple of interviews from a couple of student-athletes that, you know, we talk about we represent the kids flying under the radar. Well, believe it or not, these kids were some of the best kids athletically, but they were literally a year ago flying under the radar. So what we're getting ready to hear is the points that we made playing dual positions and transferring, what's its consequences, and setting goals and early enrollment. Well, the first young man you're going to get to hear about tonight is a Damari Simpkins, and student-athletes, if you don't know him, he's a South Florida wide receiver, but he was a big-time quarterback coming out of Miramar High School who transferred over to the Hallandale Chargers this last season. He is a Utah commit, but a year ago he was a junior high-powered quarterback, but stuff happened at Miramar that hit the fan. It was very political. It was very nasty, and it had to do with, and here we go, a head coach. But what I wanted to do was talk to Damari, because Damari was a high-powered quarterback, high-profile quarterback, comes to Hallandale, now a receiver. So what you're going to get to hear with Damari talk about is some very important things that have to do with the recruiting process and how those processes that we integrated 8 years ago, it's going to be interesting. You're going to get to hear some of the things that questions I ask him that he's going to tell you what he did, and literally almost instantly within days he received offers. So he's going to talk about dual positions. You're going to hear him talk about transferring, what it's really like from a person. You're going to get advice he's going to give. You're going to get to hear how Damian Jones, his impact is on his life and his impact on recruiting. You're going to hear about what it's like to be a leader. You're going to get to hear goals about his senior year. You'll be able to hear his recruiting experience. You're going to get to hear about early enrollment, why it was important for him. You're going to get to hear an athlete who hasn't received offer, what is his advice, because he was one of those athletes. And then you're going to hear one of the main examples of getting noticed, and it comes directly out of our PTRG playing and recruiting game playbook that is used down there right now. And then the final things, you're going to hear him talk about our college camps and the importance of them within the recruiting process. So that's Damari Simpkins. Google this young man, and you're going to see, once you Google him, all that stuff wasn't there a year ago. So, yeah, it's Damari Simpkins, his first out of the chute.
All right, hold on right here. Let's get him going.
You were one heck of a quarterback. You still are one heck of a quarterback, and you committed as a quarterback to Utah. Tell me about that transition from quarterback to wide receiver.
It has been great. Well, I'm learning a lot of new things about the new position. I have a good wide receiver coach, Coach Delane Powell, taught me a lot of great things as I progress into the receiver position. And I'm loving it so far and just can't wait to get on the next level and perfect my craft at the University of Utah.
You know, that's interesting that you say that because I don't know if you know this, but over 50% of student athletes that leave high school never play the position they played in high school and college. So, and that's one of the main things I try to tell student athletes is you need to play one more than one position at quarterback. My son Ryan got to play safety, so that was a great insight for him to play safety at the quarterback position in college. How do you think it's helped you playing wide receiver get ready to play either wide receiver or, more importantly, quarterback for Utah at the next level?
I mean, since I've been playing quarterback, it make it easier to go to the wide receiver position because you already know how to read coverages and you will know how to run your routes and get different coverages. So it just slowed the game down when I'm at receiver. I don't really have to learn a lot because I already know everything from just by playing quarterback.
And it slows the game around. It also will slow the game around when you're quarterback to know exactly what that receiver's mindset is too, correct?
Yeah, yes.
Now, did you get any chance this summer to work out with, I don't remember you being on the 7-on-7. Were you on any of the 7-on-7 teams?
Yes, I played for South Florida Express.
Okay, so but we never got you in a contest. So you playing quarterback, did you play quarterback with any of your receivers that you have now?
No, I actually played the receiver I had now. I've been playing wide receiver.
Okay, so you've been
quarterback.
Okay, well, that's fantastic. Let me ask you a question because this comes up a lot, and you're one of the fortunate ones because of your circumstances. You had to transfer, you had to move.
Yeah.
But what was the biggest challenge for you during that transition of that transfer?
Oh, the biggest challenge to me was just adapting to Hollandale. Because I've been a Miramar all 3 years, and, of course, I didn't want to leave, but I just had to make a business decision that was going to help me, get to college and not be in a lot of, mixed up stuff with Miramar and the allegations and stuff. So I just had to adapt to Hollandale, and over, 2 weeks, it was good. Like, the players welcomed me, Coach Jones. He's a great coach, great person. I knew him for a while. Just optimist, and he brought me in like a son. I was real happy about it, so it was kind of easy after 2 weeks.
That's great advice. And what else would you tell? Let's say there's a student athlete out there right now that's going through the same type of problems, or maybe just not being seen. What kind of advice? Because you've been through it now, you know exactly what it feels like, what it takes. What kind of advice would you give them? And remember, there'll be a lot of student-athletes, and there's younger, actually, Little League athletes that listen to this show. What kind of advice would you give them, a student-athlete in high school that's looking to transfer?
I would tell young people to just do what's best for you. Don't do what's best for people that's trying to gain your ear and trying to tell you what to do and trying to tell you what's best for you. Talk to your family. Talk to people that's real close to you, like your mother and your dad, and just tell them how you feel. And they'll eventually let you do what you want to do because that's what's best for you. And just do what's going to help you get to college, most importantly.
That's great advice. And you came in your senior year to a new school and a new program. You come in, you talk about Coach Jones. What's the biggest impact that Coach Jones has had on you?
He expects a lot of me, and he won't give up on me. He always pushed me into being great and trying to be the player that he know I can be.
You know, I look at the team, and when I spoke to Coach Jones and Ryan's were doing the pregame material, when we heard there were almost 40, close to 40 seniors, how was it that these seniors, how did they really accept you when you first came in?
Because they know where I come from. They know where I'm a leader where I was at, and they know what they want to get to, and they know that with me being on the team, they know I can really help to get where they want to go. necessarily get a state championship. So, I mean, they brought me in. We talk a lot, talk about what I seen at Miramar, what the teams I played against, like St. Thomas and American Heritage, and what we can do this year to help beat them and just execute.
So you had a little wisdom you were able to impart with them because, yeah, you did in those big games against those guys. And, my goodness, we covered two or three of your games last year, and there was a reason you were the impact player because you made big plays. And that's great advice, you know, the student-athletes listening out there. You can grant that wisdom, but you're not going to grant any wisdom if you're not in the game. And one of the most important things I heard you saying, Damari, is you're a leader. You know, tell me something about a leadership role.
Being a leader is just—it's not about being loud and, you know, slapping people on the head and all that, cursing them out. It's just about, you know, you doing the right thing so they can follow you. You got to do the right stuff. Lead by example is basically what I'm saying.
Yeah, and that's great advice.
Yeah.
What are some of the goals that you have that you want to accomplish your senior year?
I already accomplished one of my goals was to be committed to a big university. And my next goal was just to win a state championship and just win it with my brothers that I love. And, you know, and that's about it.
You want to get that ring and that ride. You want to get that ride to Orlando and get that ring.
Yes.
It's what it's all about, man. It's what everybody dreams about because at the high school level, that's the pinnacle. And then you're going to head way out there. You're going to get on the jet and head, what, there's a couple thousand miles out there?
Yes, sir.
What made you decide over other schools that recruited you to pick Utah?
Just the offense they run, the environment when I took the unofficial visit, how they accept, like, how they, you know, showed me around, and I loved it. It was a great city, and I actually was talking to my quarterback, Tyler Huntley, at Hollandale, and he was talking about going there, too. So both of us going there with the offense we already run is basically the offense that Utah run right now. So we knew that we was going to go in and have a great chance of starting as freshmen because it's graduating early. We early enrolls in January. And plus, their slots are leaving, and two of their quarterbacks are seniors, and they're leaving. So give us a great chance to play early.
So you and Tyler are early commits, and you're going to be both leaving to go out in January?
Yes.
That's fantastic. I'm glad you brought that up. What is that? How did you do that, and what does that entail to those student athletes that are listening out there that may be thinking about early enrollment?
The best advice I could give them is to hop on them online classes, the Florida Virtual School classes. Take some more classes so you won't have a lot in your senior year, and you could just have at least two classes like English 4 or math. And that's it, and you'll be ready for college. And make sure you take ACT early, like junior year or sophomore year. Just get it out of the way.
That's the key to student-athletes. Did you hear Damari say, take your ACT early your junior year? I don't know how many people that don't put it off. Kids put it off, and they can't even commit anywhere because they don't have that. They don't have the foreign languages. Oh, and by the way, the NCAA has the new regulation now. You know, the new regulation now with the 16 core courses, obviously, those out of the way.
Yeah.
That's important. You know, I see that there's one quarterback that plays. You and Tyler are going out together. But I hear what you're saying is that you're flexible. You play slot. You play wherever coach needs you. Is your dream to be able to be a quarterback at the collegiate level, or is it to get the college education and go on and be successful in the business world?
Most importantly, just to, you know, get the go to college level and be successful. But I love football, so that's important too to me too. But everybody know school comes first.
You got that right. And it looks like who was the guy that recruited you out at Utah? Was
Dennis Erickson.
Yeah, that's
Dennis Erickson out of UM. He used to coach at UM, won national championship there.
He's out there at Utah now. Let me ask you another question that will be advice that you could give to an athlete that may be a good player but hasn't received any offers. What advice would you give them?
Don't beat yourself down. Just stick to it. Go to all the camps that you can go to that's, you know, mainly just go to all the camps, send out your highlight films, send out your game films, you know, GPA, send it to all coaches. Get in contact, try to get in contact with every coach you can get in contact with. And just, like I said, go to camps, take ACT, you got to take that, and keep your GPA high. That's about it.
Those are great. That's great advice because you hit on some key points. One of the things I heard you that we're telling student athletes all the time is hit as many coaches as you can. Why?
Yeah. Because, you know, you never know what coaches is looking at you. And so you want to just send it all out to every coach that you can. And I'm pretty sure most likely most of the coaches will hit you back. And the first thing they'll say is, can I have your transcript or can I have your ACT score? And you got to have it, like, ready for them to have.
More great advice tomorrow. I mean, I could take you and take you into some of our courses. You don't know this, but 8 years ago we started at Hallandale with Coach Jones with our what now is called the playing recruiting game and where you blanket all the coaches. And I personally came in on a weekly basis and we mentored the student athletes. So it's great to hear that because my next question is how has Coach Jones helped you through this entire process?
Coach Jones, well, when I first came, the first thing he said was, you got to fix your highlight. He the one that, you know, moved my bit plays to the front because I had, like, bit plays everywhere around my highlight. I was all discombobulated. So he the one that fixed it, you know, put all my first five bit plays at the front because what colleges see, they want to have eye poppers. Like, they want to see what you did the first five plays. Like, oh, okay, he's good. So after that, he sent my highlight films out, and I just started to blow up. I received, like, four offers in the first week. I transferred into Hollandale after I sent my film. And after that, I just was on the roll.
Isn't that amazing that those couple of little points, and those are the key things that we bring with the playing the recruiting game. And, you know, I'm smiling here, Damari, listening to you, because he's kept instituted what we brought in like 8 years ago. And those are the key components that we try to teach these kids under the radar, that you got to hit. You got a blanket, you got to throw the net out there, you got to put your highlight tapes. I don't know how many times I tell these guys, the first six plays, the first five plays is all they're going to see, and you need to make contacts. And you start getting offers, they're going to roll in, and that's what happened with you, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
I see that you committed back in August to Utah, and it's funny, last night, some kids, Utah, I guess they found out the broadcast was on there. They're begging us to see if we'll do the same time. I don't know if Ryan's committed for another game this week or not, but I just thought I'd say that because they're following you, man. They're following you and Tyler, and it was interesting to see the Twitter. But anyways, August 2nd looks like you committed. But here's what's interesting. You continue to go on to camps around the country. Who gave you that advice? And you got a student-athlete that says, wow, you committed. Why would you go to another camp?
Oh, I don't think I went to another camp. I thought I committed.
Okay, well, maybe this stuff is just wrong because in August it shows you went in June and May. It looks like June. Okay, well, it says you went to North Carolina. Did you go in the summertime? Were you did you go to the camp in North Carolina?
We went to all them camp tours and the camps and stuff. That was actually before I committed. That was in June and July, and I committed in August.
Okay. Well, here's what's interesting. The reason I ask that is because, you know, you young men, and we deal with women too in the women's sports, but you got to take advantage of going around the country and getting and seeing, because that Carolina campus is gorgeous, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It was great to see too. Yeah.
It's great to be able to see the different places because this is going to be 4 years of your life, and it's going to be a place where you have to be comfortable and number one, and number two, you got it. That head coach is like going to be like a father figure, and you want him to be there 4 years from now. And Dennis Erickson's been at Utah for a while, and the likelihood of him being there when you graduate, which is important, is very high. And so being able to go to different places around the country is what I was going to get at because I was going to say, you know, kudos to you for doing it because whether you commit it or not, you know, you still need to travel around and see what's out there.
Yeah, see other places because everything is not in Florida. There's more places to see out there than just Florida.
And it's so, you know what, I'm just thrilled that you're going far away. Let me give you some advice that my other athletes never listen to. Take yourself some wool socks and get you some boots. Right. And I'm serious now because you're in South Florida and you're going to be shocked when that wintertime and that dry snow hits you. And, hey, who knows, you may strap up some ski boots. I don't know, you know, you're an athlete. But take those wool socks, baby, and those long underwear because winter rolls around. It's going to be a shock.
Yeah, I'm prepared for it.
All right, you're listening to Sports Talk Recruiting, and tonight is Ryan Stout and Glenn Stout, and you just heard an interview with Glenn Stout with Damari Simpkins. Very well done, very mature. And Glenn, I can tell you I like the fact that he talked about his craft, and that's what football was too, and he wanted to get better in his craft. He spoke highly of his coach and how he treated him like a son, and he wanted him to do better. Now, I was concerned as a mother, Utah from Florida. Man, that would really concern me. Utah? We can't find anybody closer. The fact that he tried to get rid of all the noise, gave the advice, get rid of all the noise around you and focus on what your family is saying and make sure that you tell them what you're thinking and give them what you want to do. Very well done, Glenn Stout.
Mom, let me go to college. Get off my back.
Utah? You know,
I think Dennis Harrison had a big part in that because Dennis used to coach down at the U, and you know they all dream to play at the U when they're down here, and I just like to get them out of town, and I think probably Dennis Harrison had a lot to do with that because you're right. I said the same thing.
Yeah. You would have to think that Dennis Harrison still knows the landscape in South Florida, and he knew how to talk about South Florida, but then related to, you know what, it's okay to change. It's okay to go away to school. I would even, you know what, I would even let him go to Tennessee before Utah. I mean, but that would be in a desperate situation, but I would. But
there's a young man that just hit on all the points, and the student athlete to listen to this, man, if you don't sit back and replay that a couple times, because there's going to be one of those bullet points out of those 10 things, there's got to be about half of them that you need to listen to over and over to have the confidence. You got to do those things because here's a young man that was off the radar, had to leave a horrible situation, was riding mile high and comes over, but he learns through that process, got humbled up to be a wide receiver. He was the go-to quarterback now, Princess. Mm-hmm. This guy was the man, but now he's been able through his that cool, that leadership he talks about, leadership and about rah-rah, patting on the back. I mean, that interview, that talk was so rich in content. I just hope that when we get this out there, the student-athletes will be able to play this over and over. And I'm not sure if we're going to have time for the next one, but, man, it's loaded as well.
Yeah, well, let's go ahead and let's introduce this one, talk about this young man for about 30 seconds. Let's get it in here, and we're going to get it in there and then come back and make some comments. Go ahead.
All right, fantastic. And the same day, obviously, here's two student-athletes that play together. These were the players that had the biggest impact in the game. They didn't happen to be the impact players we start with. What's interesting is they both transferred into Hallandale. Obviously, for folks around the country, Hallandale is a very highly ranked team. They're getting ready to play St. Thomas Aquinas on Friday. Zach Moss is the next athlete we talked to. He's a running back transfer from Little Bitty Mater High School down in Miami. He is a University of Miami commit, the U. And what we're going to talk about in this interview is it's introspective for these student-athletes that are watching or listening, and to the parents. He's going to talk about his goals as well. He's going to talk about his offensive line because he's a running back now. He's going to talk about his relationship with Coach Jones. He is going to talk about the recruiting process, the recruiting advice, and the question that he had back before he was big time on the radar. Here's a great one you're going to love. He's going to talk about his coach Tim Harris, who recruited him. That's Treon's dad, University of Florida. He's at the U right now. So he's going to talk about that relationship. He's going to talk about advice about attending camps as well, and he's going to talk about how important off-season training is and being connected into 7v7 training. So Zach Moss, he's going to talk about one of those things that you know, you don't hear athletes talk about a lot. The reason he's going to the U is because it's a train right to the NFL. So this young man has some big aspirations. He's a 5'11", 200-something pound. He's a beast. And this is going to be one that'll be on the radar. So Zach Moss, you'll get to listen to him now.
All right. Next up, Zach Moss.
Yeah, you're one of the 1% that's very fortunate that's going to go on to the next level. And one of the first questions I wanted to ask you was, what are your goals for the rest of this year, Zach?
Around get about 1,000-plus yards, help my team out in the passing game, which we're known for, and the lead route in touchdowns and rushing, and win the big championship, ultimate goal.
You want that ring, right?
Of course.
They got close last year. I understand you were down at Matter, they got close until the Rockets came in town, and so maybe you can make that happen. That'll be interesting to watch. You had some big carries last night with some big holes. Tell me about the guys up front who are responsible for creating those holes.
My offensive line, one of them being Raymond Seville, big guy, underrated 2016 O-lineman, heart of the O-line. Another one, Quan, Keon, like a lot of those guys down there, Dwight, and they get work done. You know, they don't get all of the credit. I mean, it comes all the way back to me and stuff like that. But I make sure they know that they're the ones that make it happen.
Well, that's good because, man, I saw you take the ball off the two times on the right side and there were some big holes. It looks like it was the same play. Tell me about that play.
Coach Jace wanted to keep the offense real, real basic this week. So we ran basically the same plays over and over. So, I mean, and that was our basic run play. So, I mean, we practiced it the whole week. So, I mean, coming out and doing it was pretty easy for those guys down there. And, I mean, once they gave me the hole, I tell them they just do their job, and I'm going to do my job, and we're going to get this W easily.
Was that a zone read off the right side? What was that?
Yeah, zone read.
So you just follow your tackle?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my guard kicks it, blocks his man inside, tackle kicks his man out, and I get up in there and just, I mean, if you leave me with a safety, it's not going to happen.
I know that, man. You're 5'11", over 200 pounds, right?
Yeah.
And what's your 40 speed?
4.5.
Yeah, that's getting it. And it looked like identical plays. It looked like you hit the identical place in the end zone. It was difficult to see the lines, the markers, because the field was so torn up. Actually, it was a great game to watch, man. You guys slipping and sliding. And, you know, one of the things that kind of field will do is it'll really punish you if you try to cut off your inside foot, which you never did. Fundamentally, you never did that. But I saw a couple of guys try to cut off their inside foot. And, man, it ain't going to happen on a dry track, let alone a muck track. But it was interesting. Tell me about Coach Jones. I know he spends a lot of time helping the guys get recruited. You got 13 commits, got a ton of seniors, almost 40 seniors. Tell me about your Coach Jones, your relationship with him.
I mean, I've known Coach Jones since I played Optimus. So we go back a little while. When I heard that they didn't have a running back for this year, I felt like rejoining with some of the guys I played Optimus ball with and him being the head coach, I thought it was a perfect fit. So, I mean, he's a great guy, makes sure everyone – on the team, make sure they have to do what they have to do. And he's getting a lot of kids into college.
He does do that, and we were there probably about 8 years ago when we started our program to help kids flying under the radar, and we used to come down every week, and Coach Jones was very, very committed about the process, and it's just a pleasure for us to go down to see Damian, and also the time he spends up at the College Fair for those guys that are flying under the radar. There's a big lineman that need the help. And you guys are fortunate because you're loaded up. But I can't imagine 40 of you leaving. Second half, you got a lot of fresh players in. You came out the first half, after the first half?
Yeah, I was done right after the first half was over.
Well, that's good because that kind of track, you could possibly get injured. You got a big game this week. And I hear what you're saying. You didn't show too much because you got those mighty, mighty Raiders coming in town. And that's a big game midway through the season. Tell me something about that.
I mean, it's to me, it's not a game. But, I mean, to a lot of people out here, media and stuff like that, they feel like it is a huge game. So, I mean, we coming in with the same mentality, just another opponent in our way, and they coming to us. So, I mean, we got the home field advantage, and they just going to get dealt with just like other teams we play.
It's going to be a big one, and I can't wait to, I don't know if we're going to be down there. I'm not sure where our broadcast schedule is, but we're certainly going to be looking at some of the scores. I see August 9th you took a visit over to University of Miami, but it wasn't until several months later in April you committed to the U. Tell me what it was, some of the things about Miami that made you decide on them over these other schools.
I mean, right away they showed a lot of love. Me coming from a small program, high school, they showed a lot of love. They was following me for a long time. Plus, the class that I'm in, the 2016 class, was just loaded, one of the best nationally. I just felt like it was a great move for me. Plus, that's like, I want to go to the NFL, so, I mean, that's a pipeline to the NFL because all the running backs that go to the NFL from that school. So I just feel like it was a great place, and plus it's close to home right here in Florida, so that's what I wanted to do.
Well, that you'll be playing with a lot of players down there that you played against and with down here in Broward and Dade
mm-hmm.
County too as well, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, here's a question I want you to be able to give to those guys that are flying under the radar, the guys that when you weren't last year or whenever it was, well, it looks like you started receiving offers this year, correct?
Yeah, around summertime or early spring.
Right, I see that. And what would, before you began to get offers, I want this question to be, or the question that you have will help those guys that are flying under the radar that just, you know, are struggling with the whole process. What was your biggest question about the recruiting process that other athletes out there may need to know?
I would say, like, was I in the best situation at, like, certain schools you go to? Like, it's like, nowadays, like, it's who you know. Because you could be the best player in your school, and if you don't know that person, that can help you get seen and stuff like that. You got to know, you just got to know the people.
So in your case, that's a great comment. And I know that it's a touchy subject because I can tell by the way you're answering it, but I mentor literally over the years thousands of student-athletes. I hear you because some of the things that student-athletes and parents think is that it's a coach's responsibility. And unlike Coach Jones, most coaches in the nation have no pocket of which they can get kids recruited. So
mm-hmm.
what happens is, like you said, you could be the best player on that team, but if nobody sees you, then it doesn't matter how good you are.
Yeah.
Now, how about Allendale, 13 kids. Coach Jones is absolutely fantastic. Those linemen, you know, what are the questions, what are the things they need to do, what are the things they need to know to get themselves on the radar?
I mean, sometimes we talk about it, me and O-line. I mean, they just do their job. I mean, everything's going to fall into place. I mean, Hollandale already has eyes on them with 13 guys committed, so college schools are always looking in and seeing the guys. So, I mean, if they just do what they have to do and don't worry about offenses, play your game. I mean, if you play your game, someone has to see you. If you're good, someone has to see you.
Now, I know one thing for sure because we have a relationship with Coach Tim Harris down at the U. One of the things he says that we have recorded and we play back to the kids, the student-athletes all the time is that transcripts are going to beat out over athletic ability anytime. Tell me your experience with Coach Harris and what impressed you about him.
I mean, Coach Harris is a great guy. I've been to the U countless times, just this year, more than I've ever been. So every time I went, we and him would just cool out, talk, grab something to eat. He's a good coach. He has a great vision for the running backs. I mean, he's a great mentor over everything. Like, we don't have to talk about football 24/7. We can talk about family or schoolwork or just how life's going right now and stuff like that.
And that's important. That's real important. Yeah. You don't have to talk football 24/7, man, because I know what you're talking about. I mean, you're in it, and it's playing at a high level. Sometimes that's all you eat and sleep and drink, and to have a coach to be able to talk about family, it's just very – it's relaxing, isn't it? Let me ask you a question about the advice that you'd given other student-athletes. I see you started attending the camps this summer. What advice would you give them about attending camps?
Camps is another way for you to get seen. Those camps work with a lot of coaches, recruiting sites, and stuff like that, so they get your information out there. I mean, you just grind all day, every day, and then go out to the camps and show them what you've been working on. And if your numbers come back pretty good, that's another way. A lot of kids get offered off of camps and stuff like that.
Well, you played one of the hottest 7-on-7 teams in the country, the Florida Fire. We hosted down in at MacArthur High School, the Elite 7v7. How did the training help you prepare for the season?
Just kept me in conditioning. Playing against a lot of guys I would see in pads, so learning their tendencies, watching them play and stuff like that, just see how mentally tough they were and stuff like that. But it kept me in condition just to be to get out there
and compete with the best of the best. I know it really helps out the wide receivers and the quarterbacks. I just was wondering how it helped out the running back.
I can catch the ball at the backfield. So, I mean, at 7-on-7, I played a lot of slot. So, we ran a lot of spread. We didn't really use running back too much in 7-on-7. So,
I know I asked you about your personal goals, and you want to hit over 1,000 yards. You got a big game this week, halfway point of the season. What do you want to tell those Raiders that are coming into town?
They come into Charger Town. That's all I have to say.
They better be ready.
Yeah.
All right. That's the second one interview with Zach Moss. Very well done. This is Sports Talk Recruiting, and we have Glenn Stout and Ryan Stout in here. I want to keep that in, even though we were going to go over just a little bit. Very well done. Articulate. Was able to talk about, you know, what his coach meant to him, Ryan and Glenn. Your thoughts about that, and I guess mine is that he stayed home. Thank you, young man. He stayed home.
Yeah, and one thing I want to do is just make sure that the student-athletes understand these are exceptions to the rule. There's no doubt. We talked about kids from Charter a couple weeks ago, and those are the ones that are literally flying under the radar. Yeah, these guys are flying under the radar, but once they plugged into the right system, they made the right choice. This is what's important.
Yeah.
They chose,
yeah,
and they didn't realize what they chose, but by choosing Coach Jones, not the Hallandale Chargers, but choosing Coach Jones, which uses the PPRG, playing the recruiting game, technique,
mm-hmm,
they are on track, and all they had to do was plug in to let people know where they were. Now, I just want to say one thing that I didn't say before I came on. He left
mm-hmm
the first half. He left after the first half because the first six times Zach touched the ball, he scored three
yeah
times.
Oh, wow.
So 50% of the times he touched the ball, he scored. So those are two young men that are going to be exceptions to the rule. They're part of the 1%, yes. But they
yeah
went through the same challenges, and by them transferring, that was a positive thing.
Yeah.
Transferring could be a negative thing. So that's the only thing I wanted to add. And, yeah, I'm proud of those guys, but I'm really proud of Coach Jones. And they're going to play number one or two or three St. Thomas Friday night, tomorrow night.
Yeah, and having 13 commits on your roster is pretty good. Ryan, he talks about, before I let you go, you guys go here, he talked about the fact that he liked the running back coach, and he liked the way he was going to use them in the system next year. And I guess that's important when you're looking and talking to your position coach. Ryan?
Yeah, it's important to establish, and that's one of the things, you know, it's part of a trade for any recruiting coordinator to understand that you're the person the student athlete's going to go to. You know, you're some type of family figure. You know, basically the mentality coming in is, you know, your coach is something, as long as you know, it's like your daddy or your mom,
yeah,
for the female athletes as well as female sports. But
Yeah.
Ultimately, that's your end. That's where you can find comfort with these guys, and you're going to build either a great relationship or in some cases, you know, coaching staff changes happen all the time, and unfortunately, people, athletes all over the country are faced with situations where, you know, their coach may be fired, their coach may get a better offer somewhere, or the entire coaching staff may leave, and, you know, an athlete is left in a situation where, you know, they have to make a decision, and sometimes they have to earn back their scholarship, and, you know, it could get very hectic. But overall, I believe these two young men are somewhat ready, not only to take on the college experience, but since they've already transferred once, they've already felt some type of reality smack, especially in DeMar Simpkins' case, coming from Miramar. You know, these guys, they have an idea of, okay, now, you know, I got 1 year, you know, I'm transferring into a school, so they've got a notch on their belt so far, so I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do next year.
Yeah, I'm very proud of what they're doing now. It seems like they're successfully mastering the process of recruiting and really taking control of that, and that's important. Last words here for both of you all, 30 seconds, and we've got to get out of here.
Well, the only thing I'd like to add is that the biggest thing for the student athletes listening right now that I want them to get out of this program is to listen to the step-by-step processes. Get engaged in playingtherecruitinggame.com. Get yourself in front of mentoring. Put together a game plan and make sure you learn how to successfully master the process, because it is a process. And once you take control of the recruiting process and you're able to master the process, you're going to have so much fun, because that's the biggest hurdle that you need to get over. Once you get through and master the process, you're going to have so much fun at your collegiate experience, being able to play the sport you love and allow it to pay for a great college education and be setting yourself up for that career. And then we can get you to come back home and give back.
Yeah, that's the most important thing. Ryan, you got the last word here.
4 weeks into the football season, and here in South Florida, I know some states are different time frame, but any piece of advice will work for the athletes that are out there that are listening, the student athletes that are participating in this season. You know, they're asking, well, what can I do now? Most important thing is understanding the season that you're in, and not specifically the football season, but the season of the year in terms of what college coaches are looking for, how you can promote yourself, what you can be doing, what Glenn's talking about, putting your game plan together, getting ready for the off season, for the seniors that are about to graduate, they're about to be done, and they're putting their game plan together to say, okay, I want to go to college, do I have offers? They're starting to evaluate themselves. But week four into the season, the technology that's available, the best thing that I see on a weekly basis is if you have Huddle, you know, if you have any type of editing software, especially, I mean, Huddle just makes it 10 times easier. These athletes can make a highlight tape on a weekly basis. Every single game they can come out and make a new highlight tape. Make a highlight tape. Get something to promote yourself on a weekly basis, whether it's social media, whether it's, you know, any type of visual, any local media coverage that they're receiving from their local towns, make sure they're sharing it. And make sure they have that game plan getting ready for this off season, because it's going to be a big one, and there's going to be a lot of reality checks out there for a lot of seniors this year. So, as always, good luck to them, and you know, finish this season strong.
Great information for sure. Tomorrow, Friday at 7 p.m., it'll be Calvary Christian versus Coral Springs Charter. So that's the game. We'll replay this episode at 6 p.m. tomorrow leading up to the game. Guys, it's been good. Great information and an awesome show. I appreciate everything that you all do for Sports Talk Recruiting. Ryan, if you all win, I'll call you in a couple of weeks. If we win, I'll call you that night, okay?
I love it. You have the last word, too.
All right, Ryan and Glenn, thank you so much. I really love you guys, and I appreciate what you do for Sports Talk Recruiting. We'll see you next Thursday at 7 p.m., and we'll see you tomorrow night, South Florida game featured on HSPN. That's it.
Love it. Love you too, Princess Cooper.
T-Mobile is no stranger to pushing the boundaries of wireless. And now, we're pushing those boundaries over the border of Mexico and Canada. That's right. T-Mobile is extending coverage and calling to any phone, including mobile, to and from the U.S., Mexico, and Canada at no extra charge. That's coverage in three countries for the price of one. Your 4G LTE data and unlimited talk and text work seamlessly in Mexico and Canada, just like in the U.S., so you can call and text family and friends as much as you want and use your data just like you do at home. Borders are for countries, not coverage. So don't wait. Switch to the Un-carrier today. Check out T-Mobile.com/3countries.
Limited time offer subject to change. Device, network, and coverage impact experience and speeds which vary. For U.S. residents with primary use on T-Mobile's U.S. network, not for extended international use.